to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Blast & Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park. Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. And by 10 Tavern.
Swung on at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday and you're in the Zone from Blast & Brew. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
And you are in the zone. On a Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with us today. You're now with, we're here live at Blast & Brew, the hottest place going, Old Town Clovis. Nick Anderson, the Pag Meter, and Nick, the fire oven, the pizza oven is rolling. This place has so many, 38 varieties of beer. The TVs are cranking.
Well, no, it's probably that 2.0 version of what you would expect at an establishment like this. So you don't need to worry about it. You just walk up, kind of choose what you want, take a look at the menu, slide your card in there, and pick that beer of your choice. It'll automatically dispense the beer. Now, if you want to try that, Nick, they actually offer it an outsize as well. So it's kind of, let's call it the 2.0. It's like the update. It's the newest and greatest thing around. It tears anything up that's out there right now. It's got everything that you'd want. It's got TVs. It's got beers. It's got other beverages. It's got a great, great menu, Nick. And I think you've come out here quite often, even on weekends, and have told me plenty of times how great the food is here.
Really? No question about it. We are here at Blast & Brew, but I'm not a beerologist. You are. Have you had every one of those 38 beers?
I would lie to you if I told you I've had them all, but I've had plenty of them. Okay. They've all been pretty good. Now, I know you've tried different Pepsis over the years, and I think you probably stuck with the one
Pepsi.
You like. You Pepsi.
Yeah, I'm pretty much Pepsi.
All right.
Yeah, but so next week we'll be at 10 Tavern, the sister station of Blast & Brew, and I've fallen in love with that. And I got to hang out with the owner, Matt, and his lovely wife, Amy, last week. She brought over that rigatoni is out of this world. We went in Saturday night and brought the family to 10 Tavern, and you're going to love that place. Let me tell you.
I missed last weekend, you're right, and I was on, as you would say.
Location. Yes. No, well, we are here live at Blast & Brew. Old Town Clovis, you want to come on down and hang out with us? This is where we're going to be. We're going to talk with Bob Green the next segment or two about the North-South Rotary All-Star Football Game. It's going to be happening in Golden Valley, and that's a traditional football all-star game. It's the central section versus the Merced section in a football game. They don't even know each other, but they'll get to hit each other.
You know what's fun about that? You've kind of reminded me of something in high school when I was playing high school in Santa Cruz County. We had a Santa Cruz County Lions all-star team out of Santa Cruz County, went down and played San Luis Obispo County, and we had no idea who we were playing. You know, back then you didn't get to travel as much, so you didn't see those teams like, let's say, preseason. But when you say don't know each other, that makes the game pretty cool because you don't have any kind of scouting report for the most part.
Well, don't you think the smaller schools look up to the bigger schools? Like, they get all the pub. We want to go play those guys and kind of compare. That's what it used to be like in the city-county all-star football game, and now they decided to. You know, last week we had Shane on, who's the committee chairman for the county, and he was saying, well, the county has so many schools, it's hard to pick compared to the city. If that's the case, then why did they put Buchanan in the county when the city county is almost no longer? What is your thought on that?
So what's it coming down to? It's about a coach's game or is it a player's game?
It's the coach's game and it should be the players. In fact, this is the first time, and Bob Green mentioned it, this is the first time in 65 years we will not have any schools from the West Sierra League, Kalinga, Dos Palos, Avenel, Tranquility, Fireball and Mendota. They're out of the city-county all-star football game.
Because these coaches are trying to pick these players from all over these other schools that they feel are higher-end players.
I don't know what the case may be, and I would love to know. Is there's a lot more Buchanan and Central players on the county, and they're out to win it.
Well, the hype in those games, like you say, basketball, football, baseball, it's kind of slowing down as far as the popularity of those games as it was maybe, let's say, when you were playing or even 10 years ago.
I would say yes. I played in this many, many moons ago, and we played it at Ratcliffe Stadium. There was 18,000 people there. It was a big deal. Now, a lot of kids, I think they get burnt out now. They don't want to put their hats on anymore. And, you know, hey, I did the 6 a.m. weightlifting every morning. I'm done with football. And a lot of them will quit before the game starts. But they'll regret it, because when you get out there, this year it's at Central, Darren Collegian Stadium, they're going to go, God, I should have played one more time. But they don't want to practice for those 2 weeks. But let's hope that nobody quits, right?
So they want to start their summer early? I mean, some of them don't play because they're getting ready to go to college. The ones that are playing at the next level.
I'm talking about the guys who are never going to play football again. So why not go one more time?
I think that's a shame that they don't play.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks more working out. Most of those guys that have been working out for a long time, that might have been burned out and don't want to put the hat back on. But if you're talking about being an athlete, you're still going to want to be working out. That's just what you do.
Yeah, no question.
You're going to want to get out there and get one more hit on somebody that maybe you didn't get a hit on during the season or laid you out, let's say, during the season. I can't imagine missing a game like that. Now, I can kind of see a little bit on the perspective of an athlete that's going to play and is getting ready to take off for college. He's got his mindset on that, and people always use that word injury, God forbid, but those are things that cross people's minds when they are getting ready to take off for, let's say Adrian Martinez, for example, Nebraska.
You don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, like Dante Shashere. Is Dante Shashere. He'll be on the show in a little bit. We've got him coming on, a wonderful athlete. Is he going to play? He's got getting ready to take off for his opportunities at Portland State.
Yeah, I'll look at the roster. We're going to have Dante Shashere around five. He's really the superstar athlete who's coming into his own, outstanding quarterback going to Portland State. He played outstanding basketball. Remember, he made the big play with 3.2 seconds to go at Sullivan Arena. He doesn't glide through the air and lay it in. Clovis West doesn't win at all. And, of course, an outstanding track career.
Yeah, amazing. I've got to watch him play. This year, of course, he played, like you say, the football team, and he got injured during that. I think he got injured at Clovis East, if I'm not mistaken, when they played there, and he had to kind of hang out the rest of the season. But then he came back, missed a few games in basketball, and came back, and he could just see how he just kind of continued to get better and better. And people refer to him as, you could call him, he runs track. Yeah, he's good at it. Yeah, basketball, he's good at it. Football, he's great at it. But he's an overall, Nick, he's such a good athlete at the end of the day. I mean, if I think if you threw any ball at him, a soccer ball or anything, you'd probably find he'd do a pretty good job.
Yeah, Matt Johnson tells me he's going to be the next superstar in college. He's a late bloomer, and there's going to be a lot of colleges that are going to go, why didn't we get this guy? He's got the strength. He's got good arm strength. And last year, he was a one-man show for Clovis West Golden Eagles. It was him and everyone else, and the game plan was, when you watch film against Clovis West, stop Dante Shazare, everyone else we can handle. That was the game plan.
Well, it kind of sounds like, I mean, I know the team before that had some good athletes on it too, but everybody had the mindset of you got to stop somebody else, right? There was somebody else there in front of Dante, and I'm not sure. You know, I mean, he is a late bloomer because he didn't get quite started at Clovis West in terms of a quarterback until his senior year. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, a little part of his junior year course, right?
Yeah, he stepped up, and that's a great story, great point, because, you know, Adrian Martinez goes, I'm not playing my senior year. I got shoulder problems. I'm going to rehab. I'm going to get ready for Nebraska. Dante, you're the guy. And he stepped up. I mean, it's outstanding where he stepped up, and he did such a great job at a short time of being a quarterback. And that's, I thought that was pretty dang good. Right?
Yeah, no, it was good. You know, it's funny because you mentioned long jump, triple jump, all those type of things. You know, that's kind of what he did in the Central Section Championship game. I gotta learn that, Nick. I know you're trying to potty train me on making sure I say that versus Valley Championship now because the Coast is.
Does
involved.
That make sense yet to you?
It makes total sense.
Okay, good.
Most things you do make sense, but sometimes I just act kind of weird because I don't want to give you credit, right?
Well, the local media, we gotta potty train because they don't. I'm still here in Valley Championships, and you're disrespecting our Central Coast. You grew up in the Central Coast.
Well, I grew up at the CCS, right? Central Coast Section, which is up towards.
That's not a valley, right?
No, but it's. Well, it's not. It wasn't connected to the valley.
But it is now.
I don't think Santa Cruz is connected to the valley.
Oh, someday they might be in our section.
That'd be good.
But I'm just saying, Santa Maria area Is that in the valley?
No. It's in a valley. It's in the Santa Maria Valley. But when we refer to the valley, we're referring to the mighty San Joaquin Valley. Yeah.
But now we are central section, and it keeps growing.
Makes sense.
What I want to talk about today as well, and I got a lot of feedback on Twitter, is this all-league voting. And I think sometimes I look at it, and I think it's so political. So let's just bring it up because I started it going.
All-league in what? What are you talking about?
Well, we're going to start all-league in baseball for the track. The coach of the year was voted like 5-0. James Patrick was the coach of the year in the track. And most leagues that I got feedback from, a lot of emails saying, Pagmeter, it's automatic. Whoever wins league, it's your coach of the year. Brad Fonts, Buchanan won it by 4 games and didn't get a vote in the track. And I realized, you know, James Patrick has been in business for 34 years, and they pretty much said, you know, for everything you did, we're going to give you coach of the year. I disagree with that. What's your theories on that?
Well, I mean, I think I do know how that, well, I don't know how all the leagues do it, but there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. Put it this way, if you've got the team that wins the track or another league that's out there, those guys they have more votes. They can put more players, or maybe the coach automatically gets put on that list. But in this year's case, because of him retiring, and I'm not saying he didn't do a good job, because at the end of the day, he did do a good job. But what you're saying is they're voting strictly on league.
Yes.
It's league. So let's say a player has a great preseason, has a horrible league, but has a good postseason. Should that person be the player of the year in the league?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're looking at stats for that period of time. That's when you keep referring to the track. So let's stick with the track so we don't confuse people.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of confused people, right? A lot of them should be confused for a lot of other reasons. But yes, when the track starts and the track ends, the stats that kind of fall into those two walls, that's what you use. That's your guideline, Nick.
I know, for example, football and the CMAC. Automatically, when all the coaches show up at the end of the year, whoever won league is your coach of the year, and they start having fun, they're partying. There's not even a discussion. If Memorial Anthony Gostin was the track coach, the CMAC coach of the year, because he won the CMAC. End of story. Then they start looking, okay, who's my player of the year? Well, let's look at the stat. Oh, boy. Janet McMillan or, you know, Alex Trujillo or whoever. They start looking stats. But I love James Patrick just as much as anybody. And I know the Pagmeter 940 ESPN All-Star Team, Central Section All-Star Team, I'm going to just tell you now, he's going to be my coach of the year. I know it probably doesn't mean as much as the track coach, but do what's right. Okay, Brad Fonts, and I know, well, it wasn't his team. Well, wait a minute. And Andy Bogart said that today. And Andy, if you're listening, I want you to call in 844-940-ESPN. If it was Division I college baseball, that might not be his team. But day one, that's Brad's team. And those players went through a lot. He had to be a counselor, a dad, a therapist. They didn't know who's going to be coach. The 3 years turmoil, Buchanan, wasn't easy. Brad took it over. They won it by 4 games, and he didn't get a vote. So I just think that's wrong. Sorry.
He didn't get a vote, or did you think he just said, hey, listen, I think I'd like to just not worry about this, and maybe he stepped up and he said something. Who knows? We weren't there. I don't know the answer to that. But sometimes if you have a coach, and again, I'm not taking anything away from Coach Patrick, because – he's well-deserving. I mean, he had a great, 30 years, and sometimes you got to look at that, Nick, over other things. But maybe all the coaches just kind of decided on their own that was our guy, that regardless of what was going on with wins and losses, that's what they chose to do.
Yeah, and the other one, too, and I saw our friend Paul Metters tweeted in and said, well, they gave it to Coach Hacker from Reedley when he retired. And I just think that's wrong as well. If Coach Hacker did not deserve to get Coach of the Year when he retired. Sorry, Coach, you're the nicest guy I've ever met, but you shouldn't have been. Give him a puppy. Okay, go out and buy him dinner somewhere at Blast and Brew, whatever the case may be. But just don't say, you know what, because you've been doing it for so long, we're going to give you Coach of the Year. I'm just going crazy on this. And if you want to battle with us, 844-940-ESPN is our number. I just think it should be slam dunk. Leave the political part out of all-league coaching, because when I do my all-star team, Nick, I don't even look at all-league. If you could be all-player of the year and you're all-league, I don't even care. because sometimes I'll look, I go, okay, this thing's fixed or it's corrupt or political. You went through it with Megan Anderson. She did not make track all track that year because they didn't have enough spots for her. That was political. That was ridiculous. She didn't make the all-track team. That's when it started getting out of hand.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
You brought something up from the past.
Well, explain to me what happened on that one.
Well, I mean, again, I think it all, and you know, I'm not going to, you know, again, you got to been around this thing.
I froze you, didn't I?
You froze me. You froze me. You always do. Wasn't prepared. You threw one at me. You chucked a rock, and then you pulled a Band-Aid at the same time, which got me off base. But I think a lot of that's political. I mean, some days you're happy and some days you're not. And when you're not happy, you're always wondering why. But most of the time, a lot of those things, I always say, what happens later? You know, what happens later? You know, if you get a kid that doesn't make the Law League piece, but the kid that made them over them and it had that team had one more vote or something, I always say, okay, what happens in 2 years when you're graduated? Who's still playing and who's still playing well? And if most of the time that'll speak for itself. And a lot of times nobody will ever look back and look at those type of things. But it should be run better than it is. I mean, that's an example right there that you and I went through and we discussed
explain
that.
To people what happened.
No, I just think that, you know, I'm not going to get into it because it's old news, but it's just sitting there saying, okay, you won this and you won that, so you get 3 votes, you get 4 votes, and I got my players. But when you get a team, we go back to that, I'm just going to say it, when you get a team that has players on it, you're referring to Clovis West girls basketball a couple of years ago where you had a starting five that all went Division I college basketball.
They should have automatically been your team right
there. Should have been, no question at all. And they all had stats that to back it up, but then all of a sudden they get stuck in some room somewhere. And you get coaches that dislike each other, and they start bantering back and forth. And all of a sudden, you, at the end of the day, again, coaches bantering back and forth, and then this kind of trickles down to the players, and that's unfair. Regardless of what side of the fence you're on, if you happen to be the kid that goes to Team 1 or Team 2 or Team 3, as a parent or as an adult, you got to take a hard look and say, hey, it's got to affect that kid in some way. But I look at it as motivation. So, but there was no question you know, that particular year on what should have happened. And it's a shame that coaches end up sometimes ruining things.
And that's the reason why. That's the year I decided I do not look at all league for my Pac Meter All-Star team. Because
good
I don't know if it's good or it's not. Is it fixed? Is it not? Is maybe some teams have a thing with another team. We're not going to vote for them because I don't like them. It's a popularity contest. I don't like polls that have vote for popularity contests anyway, who's your player of the week and all that either.
So if you feel like if your team won a league, let's say you're in the Sierra Club team, okay, that's your league, okay, Sierra Club league. I'm just using that as a reference. Not nothing to do with the Sierra Club that's out there, so don't get me wrong.
What did you say, Sierra Club? Sierra High School?
No, Sierra Club. Just it's a league. Let's
okay.
just say
oh,
a league.
You're making
okay,
it's it called, up.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm making it up.
All right. Okay.
So you win that league, but you have a player on your team that's not the best player, but you happen to win the league because you have a pretty good, you know, good starting five, or and you have a good bench, so you're able to compete and beat people. But let's say another team had a better player that had more better statistics than anybody on your team. But because you won, you get to vote, you get to pick who the player of the year is, and you pick your kid. What if your kid has the stats for it to back it up, that's fine. But if the kid doesn't have the stats for it and gets placed in the player of the year, do you believe in that automatically because you win, you should have the player of the year?
So, well, let's start with automatically, whoever is coach on that Sierra League team, they're the coach of the year. Your player of the year, you got to go by stats.
No, that's what I'm
so
saying.
So if someone hitting 600 and the other best hitter in the league is hitting 445, whoever hits 600 in league, there's your guy or a girl. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, that there's so much that goes on. I'd like to be a fly on the wall in some of those meetings when they choose those type of things, because it's just funny. Everything. I mean, everything to do, whether it be league MVPs or all first team and, you know, second team, third team, and then also, you know, when the school gives awards out. But every school is different in how they do it, and you could probably argue either way. And at the end of the day, it is what it is, and more than likely you'll forget about it 2 years from now.
Correct. That's exactly right. And that's why I don't really give a hoot about all league anymore, because it is. It's just a popularity contest. But I want to know what you know, call us. I've got a lot of emails going. I can, most of the teams, and I even got from
players.
Wow,
how many do you have on there?
I got a lot of from players and like, hey, I dominated my league, but I got co-pitcher of the year in one league, for example. And how's that?
Oh, I know that guy right there. I know that guy.
Well, I mean, I
don't know if I can mention any names, but
I'll let you talk.
He's right. I agree about it.
I'll let you talk about it during the – you can read about it because here's one right here. He's, you know, here's a kid who dominated a league, but he didn't get player of the year. And I got them. They're all coming in. But again, I'd like to know what you guys think.
I say we go into a slight discussion on a few of those emails that we'll go through. I think those are great. Whether or not be somebody that we'd love to have somebody call in and talk about your experience with it. But if you want to email or text or DM the PAG meter.
Well, I'm getting a lot of DMs in. And
I see that. I see
you,
that.
Yeah, I'm getting, you don't want to throw your names out there. I get it. We'll talk about that. The other one is, well, a big week for the PAG meter. The basketball all-star team came out. And here's my rule. Since 2001, I'm a Central Section guy. All right? If you leave the area, and I'm talking leave the area, you don't go to Clovis East to Bullard or Bullard to Hoover, whatever. You say that's fine. If you leave the area, you disqualify yourself to be on the PAG meter all-star team. And I had a lot of emails this week. Jalen Green didn't make my PAG meter player of the year. He would have been hands down. So I went down in line. Cole Anderson was my player of the year. He's back-to-back. Led the Clovis West. You might have heard of Cole, by the way. He led the Clovis West to the Central Section Championship. I mean, it was a no-brainer. We went down in line. Jalen Green would have been the player of the year, but he left to go to a professional school. Well, not even a high school. He went to a professional school. And let him go do his thing. We wish him all the best. He'll be in the NBA probably someday. But he left. I'm not going to waste my time to put him on my all-star team when he's not here anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I didn't realize you were having to back up things that you're doing for the schools out there. I didn't know you had to check
Explain.
With people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how long have you been doing that?
Since 2001 I've been doing this.
Okay, so is there anybody else in the area that's doing that right now that you know about beyond one league or 2 years? You're essentially the only one that I know about that's actually doing it. If you had a newspaper, you'd probably put it inside the newspaper, and it goes back to that Fresno B deal that we talk about where they used to put the all-star team in there, and the kids look forward to seeing that. So I get where you're coming from. I see both sides of the fence, I guess, Nick. But yeah. my thing is that if that's what you're doing and that's you know how you're going about it, then it is what it is. And there's no question. I mean, I can't believe somebody would question that Jalen Green wasn't the best player in the area. He definitely was. I mean, there hasn't been a player that's been as good as him in this area for
30 years. Maybe.
30 years plus. So I don't think that's in question. But going back to your rule, I see where you're coming from on that. And I don't see. If that's what you do, that's what you do. I'll back you up for it.
Well, I'm a center. Yeah, well, you got a lot of complaints, too. Oh, Nick Anderson made you do it, didn't he? No. Between you and Matt Johnson, no one has anything to do with my all-star voting. Okay, let me just throw it out there. This is all me. You can complain. You can email the PAG meter, thepagmeter@yahoo.com. PAGmeter@yahoo.com. Or message me on my Twitter. I'd love to hear because baseball and softball are now coming out. For my all-star teams, this baseball softball is going to be interesting because there's a lot of even teams this year, Nick.
So I'm gonna say this. This is an email that I just got from somebody, and it's funny because you could probably talk about this for so many different people. But here's another funny example right here. So I'm just gonna say her name because she's a popular basketball player. She plays for Clovis West High School. So. And her name's Nikki Tom. So Nikki Tom, she got first-team All-State. And an All-State means Cal High Sports, which I have a lot of respect for. I think those guys take their time and evaluate and talk to coaches, as you do. But I do look at them as a source. So she's first-team All-State. First-team All-Valley, right, for you?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Okay,
All-Central Section.
Okay, so that's it. But gets a second-team track.
Makes no sense to me.
So that's what we're talking about earlier. She's probably an example of what we're talking about with that other player that you mentioned, Megan Anderson, who played for Clovis West 2 years ago. Megan was an All-State. Megan was Player of the Year 2 years in a row for Clovis West. And then all of a sudden she goes to second team all track, but now she's playing at San Jose State and doing what she's doing there. And some of those players that were first team, where are they at now? And that's something that I think Nikki Tom, but I'm not worried about Nikki Tom. She just finished her sophomore year. She knows how good of a player she is, so, and she's a good kid, so she'll just brush that off and move forward. But what we're talking about is not her. It's about the system, And that's where kids get caught up in the system.
No question. And this is you're
agreeing with me.
You know, this is why I don't even give a hoot about all leagues anymore.
That
makes no sense.
But what's funny is that you do those things and you work hard, and I know you took a long time to get that done. I don't know. You seem like you're frustrated about it, but I don't know. What I would do is maybe you shouldn't even do it at all. I mean, it's
then, like, what happens? It's over.
Well,
because it's going to happen someday. I'm going to retire.
Who else is doing it? Who's taking the time to do it? You don't get paid to do that. And I don't know if anybody realizes, or maybe they don't even care. So if they don't care, then don't do it. But if you don't do it, they're going to complain and ask why you didn't do it. So you're never going to win on that stuff.
Well, Trevor Horn does a great job in South Valley and Bakersfield area. He does his section. I do the whole section. I'm sure they do a great job in the slow area. They have their little area. We don't have our area here in the Fresno area because the Fresno B retired. They're done. Put a fork in the Fresno B. It'll never come back. Local sports is dead in the Fresno B.
And I was looking. I think we talked about this a little bit, on one of our previous shows. But the Southern California newspapers and Northern California newspapers still do it. And talking to the coaches in those sections and areas, they so much appreciate it. And I don't know why the Fresno B does not do that anymore. If it's a money thing, I think they could actually go out and probably find sponsors just for that special section. But what it comes down to is that they don't have the personnel to go around and evaluate like Andy used to do. He used to get to the games and talk to coaches. So what they could do is they could probably have people like you or in conjunction with 940 and kind of share information and then compile this along with maybe what Paul Metters does and what other people out there are doing as well that's associated with high school basketball, football, baseball, and get that back on track. I don't see why. Or, you know, the Clovis Roundup does a good job when it comes to track. They're still doing a lot of that. So I don't see why they couldn't go out and muster up some sponsors, again, for those sections. And I'm not talking about those three main sports. The Fresno Bee used to do water polo. They did everything. And it was one of those things where those kids have framed photos in their rooms, and it goes back 15, 20 years. I mean, did they have that back when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, that's, was, I mean, that, what was that, like 90 years ago or
93
something?
Years ago. Yeah. No, it's no doubt about it. I mean, but we don't do it around here anymore. We don't do all the teams around here. We might do five teams. Like Clovis Independent will do five teams, and that's pretty easy to do. You go out and get the top players, but you just can't. It's over, okay? So it's slowly going to die, but, hey, you know, I love it. I love when people rag on me. I used to not like it. Now I love it because I know their list are – my thepagmeter.com website has been blowing up this last 2 weeks because of my All-Stars and everything, so it's a lot of fun. Let's take a break. Let's come back and talk North-South Rotary All-Star football game. Bob Green and Eric Akeesian, former Buller Knight, is in the house, and we want to talk about – they have a traditional – All-Star game. It's the Merced Kids of All-Stars against our area All-Star in a football game, and we're going to talk about that. Dante Shawsbury is going to join us at 5, and if you want to call in before, during, and after, feel free to call in. We got a lot to talk about today, Nick.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're live here at Blast and Brew. Before we take a break, Helena Agri Enterprises LLC, you guys are working your tails off right now, and I know you're supporting the Fresno Grizzlies, and I love that.
We do support the Fresno Grizzlies. Matter of fact, we had a night the other night, I think it was a week ago, where we gave out hats, had Helen on the side of it, and had different patches. One patch had the Grizzly on it, and you could take that patch off, Nick, and then you could put a taco. They had a patch that was just a taco, so you could kind of go back and forth. We gave those hats out. We also gave out bobbleheads that night with a little Helena logo on it. And it was one of those old farm pictures, you know, with the guy with the pitchfork and everything. But it was kind of a gothic style. Wonderful evening, a wonderful event. Great place to do that. We really look forward to continuing that relationship
I love that. You're the local guys. They're local. Keeping together and not jumping ship. I love that. Let's take a break. We're on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Valley Remnants and Rolls, providing first quality flooring at 30 to 40% everyday savings.
Hello, I'm Bob McParland. Why not make it new again at Valley Remnants and Rolls on McKinley, just east of Blackstone.
Time to win on 940 ESPN. We crack open the Table Mountain Casino prize window. Be listening for more great prizes all week long from Table Mountain Casino and 940 ESPN.
Some very experienced folks who have done billions of dollars of mortgages are back together to do it again for owning.com. Let's listen in.
Okay, since owning is new, how are we going to make a real splash?
We've got to have rates that are cut to the bone and straightforward, without you having to practically undress yourself to get an actual conforming rate.
And let's pay all the closing fees so people can just roll down their current mortgage without raising the loan amount.
And unlike other companies, we won't try to sneak in a BS funding fee of $495 or $995 or whatever.
And let's be lightning fast with processing and underwriting.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Owning's current conforming, no BS 30-year rate and APR is 3.75%. So if you want to lower your rate in about 2 weeks without paying any charges, call 833-2-OWNING or log on to owning.com. That's 833-2-OWNING.
Owning Corporation, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1797976, DRE License 02063270, MLO Endorsement. Call 833-852-6464 for terms and conditions.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
Welcome back. You
are in the zone.
In the zone on a Friday afternoon at Blast & Brew. This is the place we're going to get you ready as well in the 5 o'clock hour. Fresno State baseball tonight against UC Santa Barbara. Stanford was smoking. Sacramento, so Stanford's in the winner's bracket. We're going to figure it out. I don't even know how to shut everything off. To Bob Green and Eric Akeesian are in the house, and we'll get this going. Just put it on top of your head, Bob. I want to thank Helen Agra Enterprises, LLC, but that's got to be closer to your mouth. This is a show right in itself. So you got to put that on his head.
For all you guys listening, we're just trying to set up our next guest right now. They're having a little difficulty with the headset, so we'll be right with you. But this is going to be a good segment, Nick. I'm looking forward to this based off of what you were mentioning earlier about nobody knows each other. It's a true all-star game, right?
Now I'm looking at the roster as well. Bob Green and Eric Akeesian in a North-South Rotary All-Star game. You've got the North, well, the San Joaquin Section All-Stars versus the Central Section All-Stars. And there's no... Well, you know, can we borrow a couple Clovis East kids to play over the end? No. It is. That's the way it is. Eric Akeesian and Bob Green, and welcome, guys.
Thanks a lot.
I coached Eric Akeesian in the Bullard Knight days.
Wait a minute. Who's older?
Well, if it wasn't for me, he would have been a male cheerleader or something.
So I made What's wrong star. With that?
No, I'm just letting him know. He wanted to be, and we made him a star, me and Scott Stanbury.
Well, you know, Nick used to take me out to Tenaya Park and throw balls to me when I was little, and he'd just drill me right in the chest every time.
So Eric decided we needed a guard.
He still throws the same, by the way. He says anyway. I've yet to go out there and watch him, but
it's the only thing that works in my body is my arm. Still, believe it or not. Well, Eric, I know your son had a fabulous year.
Buchanan
Colony Thunder.
Yes,
the Thunder. They knocked off Clovis Cougars in the Easter Classic.
That's right.
I watched you all night long. Got all excited.
It was pretty fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, that was a big win for us and to really put our team on the map. So we had a good season. We made it all the way to the section finals and ran into a really hot team called Ponderosa out of Shingle Springs. And they beat us 5-4 on the last out, last strike. And they hit a single and put the winning run across.
So, Eric, let me ask you.
Shingle
Springs, yeah.
I want to ask because we have one and done in this area. You have a... Is it a 2 out of 3 deal, or is it 1 and done as well?
So once you make it to the third round, then it's double elimination.
See, I love that.
It's great. It's a great.
You like that better?
I like it better. The better teams are going to win, right?
It makes it tough, you know. Once you get in the consolation bracket, which we actually were, the number one seed, but we had to fight our way back, and we made it. We took on Oakdale twice, which they're a really tough team, and got to the section final, so it was a lot of fun.
How does that work if you lose in the first round and the double? Are you on the road then?
So you drop. Yeah. Well, we went in as the number one seed, so we were home for the first two rounds, and then third round you go to a neutral site.
Okay.
And then from there it's double elimination.
Wow.
And so if you lose that in that third, fourth round, you drop into the consolation bracket, and you have to fight, and you have to beat the other teams. If you lose one more time, you're out, obviously. So we had to win twice.
That's baseball right there.
Yeah, it's a really good format.
That's the way baseball, you hear about, that's what they do in the upper league, so why not do it here?
Well, all the coaches around here are hoping to do that. We go one and done, and it right now it is what it is because, for example, the track, it's a grueling 15-game schedule. You win that, you really don't get any – credit.
You know, Nick, we were surprised because, you know, we'd heard about Buchanan and Clovis North from up north, you know, and we also played SLO Slow,
yeah,
in one of our tournaments, and we knew that they were tough. They had some really good pitching, so we knew it was going to be a tough road for any of those teams in the central section.
Hey, we're talking with Eric Akeesha and, of course, the legend Bob Green here.
Yes, he is.
Before we talk football, do you ever see BLAC Colony playing in our area? Wouldn't it be better to play in this area than going way up north somewhere? What do you think?
That's a good question. You know, they realigned our league. They took out Turlock and Pittman, and they did because of school size, and they moved them into the Modesto League. And it's changed things because now we have teams like Patterson and Ceres, which they really can't compete in our league.
It's like Chowchilla and Merced are about a nine iron away from each other. And Merced plays in the north, and Chowchilla plays in the central section.
That's right.
Makes no sense.
You got to draw that line someplace, right? And that just happens to be
That's right.
Even you could make a chip.
Yeah,
you know.
No question. Okay, let's talk about June 22nd, Veterans Stadium in Merced. It's the San Joaquin section, high schools versus the central section. Bob, how's this year compared to some of the other ones?
I think that the South has some quality players. I really do. It's mainly because we recruited the best player. I made sure that the best, like that Ryan Hunt.
Yeah, he's a man
beast. He's unreal.
Ryan Hunt from Clovis East is a man beast.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there's a kid up north from Hillmar High School, a little bit of high school, called Isaac Sharp.
Yeah.
He's unreal. If you have Connors, you got to run him back. I mean, I think he's going to be a better game.
Let's start with who's coaching this year?
Mike Parsons from Modesto Christian,
yeah,
and Brandon Ward from Crothers.
We all know Mike Parsons, former Clovis West coach.
Right.
So Mike's a great guy.
You know, I'll just add real quick, he's got a former Bullard coach. He used to coach on the Bullard staff that's actually helping him this year.
And
he's
Matt Armstrong.
Oh, Matty's up there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but he's actually from this section, right?
He's coached at Bullard last
year.
Yeah,
Bullard. He was at Emmanuel. He was the head coach at Emmanuel. And then Donnie Erecks happened to be offensive coordinator. So he's moved to Mike Parsons' area.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right.
That's crazy about Modesto Christian, because Modesto Christian has about 250 kids that go to that school.
They had 17 players this year.
Yeah, so a lot of them are going both ways.
Yes, and the four we took from Modesto Christian are legit.
So 250 kids are roughly, I'm throwing that out there, and you've got a football player like that, and you've got a basketball team that they have at Modesto Christian that is an open division championship type of caliber team.
Right.
So you're getting everything you can out of 200 and something kids, right?
Right.
Well, my radio partner on Thursday, Matt Johnson, wants to know, can they play both ways in this north and south game at Rotary game?
No.
So you don't let them either.
They can play special team both ways.
So if the coach says, hey, I want a kid to play receiver and safety, you're not going to let him. Why is that?
Well, because my philosophy is that we want more kids to be playing. And if you play one way, what do you do with the kids that aren't good enough to play both?
What if you have it's an emergency situation?
Oh, no, emergency. 2 years ago. No. 2 years ago that happened.
You got nobody left on the field, so can we use you? No, you can't. That's the rule says no.
2 years ago that happened. A kid from Modesto Christian, who's now at Fresno State, named Chris Brown. And there was no DBs. All the DBs quit from Turlock. Remember that, Eric?
Yeah.
They all quit. So the coach says, I got to have a guy that can go both ways.
Okay.
And the coach from Southside, he said, okay, I'll do the same. And it worked out fine.
Well, I'm not asking the guys to play both ways the whole game. if it happens during the game, you need someone to play guard tackle.
We don't have a problem.
You play defensive tackle the whole year. Go in there and play.
We don't have a problem with that, do we?
Yeah, most of these kids that are in all-star games can play both ways.
Thank you. City County doesn't do it. It drives me nuts. And that's why the county kids are always we look at the spread, point spread, the county's always going to be the underdog.
I'll be honest with you, Nick, though. We don't really have a problem getting numbers in our game.
Yeah.
We actually have an overload of numbers, whereas, like, the game to the north, all-star game to the north, is called the Lions All-Star. And they've struggled to get enough kids to put on on each team. We don't. We've been very fortunate because we have a lot of support from all the Rotary clubs in the Valley. And I'll just add real quick, this is a Rotary scholarship game. We give out $50,000 scholarships to area kids from the Modesto area down to the Sanger. Bob started this game 34 years ago. The reason he started it, because he wanted the smaller schools that were told they weren't good enough to play at the big boys, he wanted them to have a place to go. And that's how it started, but it's evolved. And we have tremendous support from all the Rotary clubs.
Bob Green, Nick, Eric Artesian in the house.
We raised almost $70,000 this year. Thanks to Carl Jr., thanks to the Rotary Club, thank you to some businesses and their volunteers. Some of these kids in the Valley, they had no opportunity to get a scholarship. We had 150 applicants this year.
Wow.
And we gave $50,000 away.
That's fantastic.
It's
Bob
really
Green,
good.
Eric Artesian. And now, when you look at the Central Section High School, a lot of these kids are playing in the city-county game, so they should have the advantage, right?
They should.
It's possible. The week before, our guys play in the Lions game.
Okay, so I don't want to. Everyone's had pads on.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, most of them. In the Lions game, they only pick 30 players, though.
Okay.
So the thing that's in the Central Section, Nick, is that somebody somehow thinks that City County game is the only one to play in. They didn't want to play in our game.
Oh.
And it's mainly because they had to travel to Merced.
Yeah.
They say it's too far to drive. So we get kids quitting, and then we have coaches that don't push their kids.
We have a scholarship banquet the night before the game at Golden Valley High School. We ask all the players to come down, and it's really a lot of fun. And during the week of the practices, I'm a North director, so I'll be with the North kids. We teach them the four-way test on Rotary, so they learn one aspect of that four-way test, and then at the banquet they get to recite that, and we give them a patch to put on their Letterman's jacket.
We got to
really
go to
cool.
that dinner this year, guys.
I would love for you guys.
You're
to be
welcome.
There.
Yeah, Eric Akeesia, Bob Green in the house. When's practice start?
17th.
17th. So you only go a week.
We go 4 days.
Wow, that's
all
it.
We need.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
And where is the Central Section practicing this year?
At Liberty.
Liberty Madera High School? Okay, that's a good one. We'll have to come out and watch practice. And how about the San Joaquin?
Outwater High School.
Yeah.
So you made a comment earlier about kids. The team of the North, the Lions deal. Why do they struggle to get kids to play?
Because I have a reason with that. Okay, they require the kids 5 days of practice, but they board them.
They stay in the dorm.
They stay in the dorm. And so kids in the north, they come from La Grande, Los Palos, Los Banos. I mean, they got to work. Those kids have to work.
A lot of these kids are working on the farms.
Yeah,
and, you know,
a lot of dairymen, and they have to work. And so I told those guys, if they didn't want to have them stay in the dorm, you get more kids who want to play. But they say, they get to communicate and hold hands and stuff like that.
I got you. I was just wondering if it was more, we just don't want to play. You know, but it sounds like that's legit, in my opinion, right there.
The big reason is they have to work. They can't be bored
of that. And there's one other thing we should talk about. A lot of the kids are going to be playing in college, the D1s, and even the kids that are going to the smaller schools, their coaches get them out. Like, we have one kid already moving to Nebraska to, you know, get started with his college. So the D1 kids, like we had a kid last year out of Turlock that went to Cal Poly, he couldn't play in the game. Even some of the city colleges, the junior colleges, don't let their kids play in this game for some reason.
Yeah.
So, and we were talking about that earlier. I mean,
some kids just get burnt out.
They also use that as an excuse, too, I think.
And like I agree. That's exactly right. And we try to get the better kids to put on the poster, but all those kids there, that kid from Central Catholic, he is the real deal. That Eric Sorge.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know why Kodzic didn't recruit him? He's only 6'2".
Yeah, he can play.
He's 280, but he can play and move.
And Colt Nelson, the Madera quarterback, can hum that ball.
He's legit.
Yeah. Is Colt Nelson related to the Nelson family?
Yeah,
Madera?
He played the game. His older brother.
John Deere?
Yeah. No, his older brother.
Yeah.
He was the record holder in Madera, and then right. Colt broke the record.
Yeah, and he played the year the guy from Global Search went to Madera.
And this?
What's his name, the coach? Blankenship. He played the year Blankenship coach again, and his brother played very good players.
You mentioned Stephen Scheid.
Stephen Scheid out of Buchanan. Yeah. His uncle is the head coach of Merced High School.
Yeah, yeah.
And we hear a lot of good things about him. I haven't seen him play, but I heard he's really something to watch.
He can play.
Well, we definitely got to go to that game.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. I like to go watch a practice over at Liberty, like you mentioned.
See, Saturday, June 22nd.
What I did this year, Nick, I was able to go to all the games. I went to probably about 15 games in my wheelchair, but I got involved in the huddle. So I stay home on Friday and Saturday and watch the games in the huddle. And
I like
say, I saw a lot of good kids.
Huddle's a great recruiting tool. Coaches, college coaches don't need to leave their living rooms anymore. They can just get the code for huddle and watch anything you want to watch.
That's what I did.
Well, I hope it's a great turnout. I hope all these kids show up. I know it's going to be a great crowd. 34th annual North-South Rotary All-Star Football Game. I'm going to be there. I know I'm bringing Matt. I know Nick's coming. It's going to be fun that
two
night.
Two kids are Matt teams on the team.
Good.
The kid,
Poses? Matt?
No, I'm trying to think. Stephen Alanise, A-L-A-N-I-C.
Okay.
And Nelson.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Dallas Nelson.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're legit.
Yeah, you've got Steve Alanis. He's an athlete. Now, here's a kid that plays everything. Never comes off the field.
Right.
See, that, to me, it penalizes him right now.
So by not having him play both ways, you're maximizing field opportunity, right?
That's right. Yeah. We're trying to.
So you got kids sitting around. Everybody's got a role there, right? So
if you need someone at the crunch time and the other kid's hurt, get him in there. The city county will not let him.
No matter what.
It's just horrible.
Hey, Coach, do me a favor. When you see Coach Donnie Arax from Bullard, tell him, we've been trying to get him to coach in this game for a number of years.
I will bring him out that Saturday night, okay?
Please do.
We will walk around and we'll make sure.
What about us? You want us to come out and coach?
Coach Scambray and Coach Papagni back together.
Yes,
get the band back together, right?
Hey, guys, thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, thank you so
Bob
much.
Bob Green, Erica Keesham, the 34th annual.
Bob, thank you.
And I will put this on my PagMeter Twitter.
Thank you.
We're going to pack this place out.
We appreciate that.
All right. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You very
Let's
much.
Take a break. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Say hello to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Blast and Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park. Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. And by 10 Tavern.
Swung on. The deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday and you're in the zone. From Blast and Brew, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, live from Blast and Brew, Old Town Clovis. This place is hopping right now. Even Mosby's in here. Helen Agra Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer, Nick.
We're just talking farming right now. The weather broke. It's 80s. It's going to be 90s next week. It's giddy-up time.
It's giddy-up time.
It's giddy-up time.
This is time you need a professional from Helena. Because right now, you don't know what to do. They're trying to put money in your pocket, and it's been so much rain in May. I know you probably can't help the cherry growers, but you can help everyone else.
Well, some of those guys, you know, made it through, but it was a tough couple days. Depending on where you were located, it definitely was, as you know that. But it hit the industry pretty hard, so definitely heartfelt to that industry because the crop looked wonderful going into that period of time, Nick. The quality out there. They were going to say it's going to be one of the record-breaking years for cherry growers.
559-261-9030. 559-261-9030. What happens when you call that number?
There's going to be somebody behind the phone that's going to answer. Her name is Rochelle, and Rochelle will ask you a few questions about where you grow, and she'll hook you up with a location that best suits your farming geography.
I like it. We're here in Blaston Brew. This place is starting to hop. It's the farmer's market tonight at Old Town Clovis, but come on down to Old Town and hang out with us. We got one of the great guys now. We're going to get to talk with
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Dante, welcome in. The Clovis West superstar. Welcome in.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about Dante Chazere. Let's start the year. Even 2 years ago, you weren't really a quarterback until we found out Adrian Martinez was going down, and they said, you're the guy.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get mentally ready for that little job?
I was waiting for that moment, actually, because I was playing on JV quarterback, and then I went up for the playoffs and kind of like sitting behind the scenes, and then spring comes along and his shoulder's out, so I'm in with it all. And then they had told me that I was just going to play half the season because he'd be back. And then right before the season starts, they're like,
you knew.
Yeah, they're like, you got it the whole way. And I was like, all right, I'm ready.
Nick, I really felt like Clovis West never missed a beat when Dante Chazere is in a quarterback. And that's what I loved about you. You weren't nervous. You're like, bring it.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yeah.
This is where I belong. How did it feel now with all the seniors and everything?
It felt good because I played with most of them like at a younger age, and then finally getting to the varsity level and playing with them was real nice.
Yeah, because most of that team that you played on, you guys all grew up
yeah.
together. And that's what's neat about most of these teams we talk about is that you've got all the way through Kasner, all the way through elementary school. Where'd you go to elementary school?
Lincoln.
So you're right there. All the way through one campus to another, saw everybody growing up. And to watch, you know, I got to see Dante play not as much as I would have liked, but I got to see him firsthand because he played basketball and I got to see all the basketball games. But I did attend football games. And to watch him as an athlete, I'm going to say he's the youngest. You're the youngest out of how many?
Five.
The youngest out of five. I'm the youngest out of four. I always say the youngest are the best now, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
You might have to argue with your brother that I know very well that went to school with my daughter. But it's been fun to watch you, not just because of your athletic performance, but all you listeners out there that talk about things. One thing I'll tell you about Dante, and I don't know if he would tell you this because I think he probably wouldn't, but I'll say it because I'll put it out in the air. He's one of the best people that I've ever met in terms of what he provides, not just on the athletic side, but what he does to the chemistry of teams. And I'm sure I didn't get to watch the football as much or have somebody that was involved with it. But what I saw you do on the basketball, Clovis West basketball last year, the way they performed, Central Section Champions Division I, regardless of your famous shot that'll be in your mind for the rest of your life, you were a big part of why that team made it to where they were.
Yeah.
Because of what you provided, the seniority part.
Well, let's
Nick.
Go to live action. 3.2 seconds to go at Selden Arena.
Ooh.
Clovis West timeout. Vance Wahlberg in the huddle. You got to make this play or call it the season ends. Bullitt wins the Central Section Championship.
Yeah.
What did Coach Wahlberg say in that huddle?
He doesn't remember.
Well, I was sitting on the bench, and he takes a knee, and he looks straight at me and winks. And I was like, well, what was that wink for? And then he drew up the play, and then, like, at the very end, he's like, all right, Dante, you're going to get in. You're going to go all the way. And I was like, all right, I got to do it.
Yeah, you couldn't pass the ball.
No.
By the time you pass, it's over.
Yeah.
You flew through the lane. And I have it. I took a video on it. That ball, as soon as it left your hands, it was, and it went in. You go overtime again.
Yeah,
it was good, right?
Place.
Yeah,
it was 2 seconds to spare. What I saw.
And if you ever listen to our Rise Show on Thursdays, that's our opening now. You're going through the lane, and Matt and I are going crazy. Hey, score! And Matt was saying, oh, it's the greatest thing.
He wants royalty on that. He got your royalty on that.
Well, every week we're going to have Dante Chazere moment. Well, okay, so football, let's go. We're not done with football.
Yeah.
Your senior year, you come in, you're the guy. Because
mm-hmm.
every coach I talk with, we got to stop Clovis West. There's only one way to stop him. We got to keep Dante Chazere in the pocket. I don't care about anybody else. You were the guy. So
yeah.
going in. You knew it had 22 eyes on you on every play.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
I liked it, actually. It made me perform better because I knew going into the game that, like, I was the key, like, the star that they had to stop. So I'm like, they're going to bring their all, so I got to bring mine. So
one of the best games you played, I remember it was a Thursday night. I believe it was it Sunnyside at Sunnyside?
Edison.
Oh, yeah, it was Edison at Sunnyside.
Yeah.
God, you threw for about 300 yards, ran for 200 and plus.
Yeah.
You were on fire that night.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that feel?
Good, because it was a close game. I think we ended up losing by, like, by a touchdown maybe, but it was
at the buzzer.
Yeah,
they scored
at the buzzer, but it was back and forth, just offense going back and forth.
And then Nick, you saw him come out for basketball. How long did it take you to get your basketball wheels going?
Oof, a while.
But he had an injury there.
Yeah, I had a wrist injury, so it took me a while to get back into basketball shape because that's not the easiest.
We were very patient because we knew we needed Dante out there. The team, like I said earlier, would not have been the team that we had if he wouldn't have come out. So that was definitely the piece that we needed to have for sure.
You got that ring.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that
ring. Does it fit?
Yeah, it fits.
You're the only one that fits?
So speaking of basketball, I want to know, three-point contest shooting, you against Matty Campbell. Who wins?
Come on.
Me.
There you go.
All right. Sorry, Matty. I know you're listening, but I think Dante said during the commercial I would crush her.
He said that, crush. Yeah. I think he used the word crush.
Okay, basketball ends now. You got to get your legs ready for track. Mm-hmm. Now, when do you start getting going on that?
Actually, I didn't think I was going to go off for track. I was kind of preparing to.
That's great. This is great. I love this. This is the best story that I can ever. I just think this is so cool. Go ahead. Keep going. I just laugh because it's just amazing what you've done this last year.
Basketball season had ended, and then I was, like, getting ready for football season to play at Portland State. I was, like, working out all this time. Because I talked to the track coaches, and they're like, oh, come out. We know you're a good athlete. And I was like, I don't know. And I used to do track at Kasner, and I was, pretty good. And then I was just like, one day I was like, I'll try it. Why not?
When Matt Johnson, my radio partner on Thursday, first saw you in track, he called me, goes, you got to see Dante Chazere in track, Nick. He's unbelievable. You blew him away. He goes, Portland State's getting the greatest athlete we might have in our valley.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's a good saying, yeah.
So you picked Portland State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did you pick Portland? Tell me about the decision.
When I went on my visit in December, I just felt like they welcomed me. Like, they were just, like, all this love for me. Like, they wanted me there so bad, and they were just treating me like the best. So,
how much has Pops and your brother who played at San Jose State helped you in this next part of your journey?
They've just been telling me, just, like, trust my gut. Like, if I just go with whatever feels right. So it felt right for me, so.
Sparting up, baby, right? That's all I'm going to say. Now, so how much influence did your brother have on you? You guys are pretty close, right?
Yeah, a lot, because when he was in high school, I was working out with him, watching him grow, and I kind of see him progress, and, like, I was always trying to, like, be like him. And so, like, now that he's at this bigger stage in the NFL, I'm like, I got to be just like him. So,
well, what size was he when he left for college?
I think he was about 175.
What are you right now?
175.
You're taller, though, right?
Yeah, I'm taller.
How much taller are you?
He's 6 feet. I'm 6'3", so.
Okay.
Now, talking to your dad between the commercials now, he's saying you have a gun right now. Mm-hmm. Is your arm feeling pretty good right now?
Yeah.
Tell me about the Portland State offense. Is it going to be perfect for you?
It fits me. It's that perfect spread offense that throws it and then put some runs in there for me, so.
I think Portland's going to love this guy.
Well, I mean, I think it's neat that you said it's going to fit you, right? A lot of kids go out and they get recruited, and they're not sure where they fit in to that particular offense, whether it be basketball, football. We talk about this a lot. And for you to have a lot of people behind you in your group that's able to help you understand, how does that really fit?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a brother that's playing the NFL, and for to get that backing, I think a lot of kids get misguided sometimes. So if you know where you fit,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be a much better environment and opportunity for you.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dante Chazere, who's heading to Portland State to play quarterback. Is the track coach talk to you at all or anything like that?
No.
He will.
He might.
So what about that, though? If you get up there and I know you're going to say, hey, I'm putting everything I got into football. Let's say football goes pretty well for you. And the football coach says, hey, I'm okay with that if you want to. Would that be something you do in college?
Yeah, that's a possibility, yeah.
Dual sport?
Yeah.
Okay.
All I know is I think Portland State, once they see this guy do his thing, they're going to go, how did we get this guy on our team? This is the greatest recruiting move we've ever done. So I'm excited. I think the fans and the tell me about the stadium. What kind of stadium we got over there?
They play at this soccer stadium. It's pretty big. So hope we get a lot of fans out there.
And, is your dad ready to make the trip now?
Yeah.
So we got a couple quarterbacks in front, but you can learn from them for a little while.
Yeah.
I figure by week three you'll be starting, so mm-hmm. you'll just learn from them as long as you can.
Yeah. Then
who's the first game against? You know.
It's at Arkansas.
Arkansas.
SEC.
You said Razorback.
Yeah.
You see this now? Okay.
Now that's going to be about what, 70,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's serious stuff.
Any opportunity you going to play right away, or do you want a red shirt?
I'm not sure yet, but I feel like if I go in ready, I have a good chance.
There you go.
Playing.
You got your mindset.
Yeah.
It's always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go full speed.
Yeah.
So I see Dad over here wearing a Portland State visor and a Detroit Lions shirt. I remember Dad always wearing San Jose State for a long time. I haven't seen a Spartan deal. You move on, right?
Yeah.
Right, Dad?
So you had the burgundy and gold. Now you've got the green.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think? You look good in green?
Yeah, I like good in green.
It's a good-looking hat.
Yeah.
Have you checked the crowd? What kind of home crowd have they got over there?
They bring in a decent crowd through most of the games, yeah.
Maybe a little colder at night, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I've never been to Portland, so I'm guessing it's cool in the evening.
Yeah.
Football season.
Yeah.
Portland's okay with that.
Yeah, Portland State used to be a powerhouse D2 school back when I was in college. They'd always had good fan, good support.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what I know, and I don't know much about it, you've been up there and you've probably looked and researched.
Yeah.
But I've always seen, you know, the facilities have always been first class up there. They always put a lot of money back into athletics up there.
Well, Dante, you passed the first test. Great interview job. You're going to be getting interviewed a lot in Portland.
Yep.
Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Will you call in? I mean, when you get big time, we still call in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
As long as we make that rule now, right, Nick?
Dante Shawsery in the house here at the Blast and Brew. We'll take a break, come back here, and talk a little more. Get ready for Fresno State baseball as well, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast and Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, Blast and Brew. It's great to see Lindsay and Chris here. The Folios in the house, Chris and little Riley. So this place is happening right here, Blast and Brew, Nick Anderson, in the Pag Meter. Thank you to Dante Shazeray. He's the next superstar. I'll just tell you now.
You know, just like I was kind of got into it with him in terms of, you know, what he did on the basketball court last year for that team and keeping that team together and providing that leadership that you talk about so much. You don't find that a lot on some of these kids, and I do think that, you know, he goes up there. But you can just see him walk across the room. I mean, you don't even need to know him, and you're going to know right away that he's an athlete. And, yeah, you get recruited for an athlete. If you wanted, like I said earlier, if you wanted to run track or play soccer or whatever they want him to do up there, he's going to be able to perform because he's just that extra special. So it's going to be fun. We'll watch him. We'll keep everybody abreast of what he's doing up there, and we hope to have him have him on the show during the season or some point, huh?
Well, Chris and Lindsay, they're ordering that Bavarian pretzel, which is unbelievable. I got to get one. It's really good, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, he's probably starving for one. He's trying to. He's begging. I think is what he's doing here. So
Riley's all over it as well. She's inhaling that thing.
Did we lose the Helena Agra person here? Where's Mosby Place?
Well, Mosby's checking out the beer right now. There's 38 selections of your beer, and that's where he's at. And there's so many. I don't even know how you do it.
Well, I mean, you can stay here a long time if you want to do it, put it that way. But I don't recommend you doing that. And unless if you do happen to do that, make sure you get some kind of an alternative transportation besides yourself.
Well, it's a perfect night to get down here to Blast and Brew. They got the Farmer's Market. You can walk around Old Town Clovis. Clovis has one of the best little downtowns on the planet. It's really fun out here. Have you ever been here? You brought Jill over here yet?
No, I was talking to Jill earlier today. I said, you know, you need to come down here and meet me. And I got, you know,
you're big league.
Always, you know.
Yeah.
But seriously, this where we are, where we're located right now, if any of you who are listening haven't been to Blast and Brew, and we know we broadcast in a large, large area with the 50,000-watt blowtorch that we operate under. But, you know, if you're ever in Clovis, downtown Clovis, you get to experience that old town feel. This is right. It's a perfect building. It's got everything you want, TVs and great food and that wonderful beer on tap that you mentioned. But come on down. I mean, there's plenty going on. If you happen to be here next year for the rodeo, if you're coming from the out-of-town, Blastin' Brew is where you want to be.
They got it all. I mean, the pizza's here, the pretzels, the hamburgers, A to Z. It's all going here. I want to thank Eric Akeesian and Bob Green, the North and South Rotary All-Star Game. It's the Bob Green Football Classic Saturday, June the 22nd at Veterans Stadium. It's the Central Section All-Star Football against the San Joaquin Section All-Star Football. Matt Johnson's trying to call in, so JoJo, if you're listening, he said it, no one's answering the phone, so Matt's got a lot to say. And he's the one who's, when I'm telling you, when Matt goes, Dante Chazare, Nick, you got to look at this guy. How did they let this one slip away? And so Portland State's getting a good one.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, I think, I don't know the overall recruiting that he had and overall offers, but I'll tell you what, Portland was smart. You always look at kids. You can just tell by watching Dante about the upside that you can. Now, whether it be a quarterback or, like I said, he could step on the receiving side of things, Nick. He looks like a receiver to me. Could probably play a receiver and be a pretty darn good one. So opportunities for him are beyond, I think, what he could possibly do just in that one position.
Hey, Matt Johnson's on the line. Matt, you're the one who told me about Dante Chazare, and he's going to be a gem in the next level. How are you, Matty?
I'm doing well. How are you, Nick and Nick? So happy to comment anything on Dante. He is an extremely he has extreme upside potential. I really, truly believe. Obviously, for high school football, Trent Tompkins was the soup of the day out here, and deservingly so. But I think when it's all said and done, Dante Chazare might be the best future prospect in the quarterback of all the quarterbacks coming out.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal right there, coming out of Matt Johnson. I'll tell you. Hey, Matt, it's Nick. How you doing, buddy?
Great, Mr. Anderson. I'm doing as well as I can do. I appreciate you guys. All the thoughts and prayers for my brother passing. But, obviously talking with you guys and you just got to keep pushing on. And this is great therapy, listening to your great show.
Yeah, Matt, we're sorry. Yeah, we are with you. And it's a tough one. Matt lost his brother on Sunday who lived in San Diego. And I hope the family keep him strong for us. I know you'll do great at that.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Thank you, Pags.
Hey, so, Matt, I got a question. We talked about it in the first hour. All-league voting, when you were CMAC, is it automatically the coach of the year, whoever wins the league, or how does a CMAC do it?
Yeah, I believe it is. I'm sure there's exceptions, but the unwritten rule is always, if you win your conference, when the league votes for all the variety of awards they give out at the end of the year, the league always honors the coach who had the winning team for the league. I think that's pretty much automatic. I'm sure if someone, as an example, in the NYL conference or someone who had no tradition of winning, and let's say the team came back, like, for instance, at Madera South, where I coach football, if we came out and won two or three conference games, I think there'd be consideration for a coach like that or a team like that to get obviously a lot of consideration. But generally speaking, the all-conference coach of the year goes to the coach that was on the winning team from the conference.
Well, Matt, my early rankings came out, and I put the Madera South Stallions number 5 in Division 5. You're brand new in Division 5, and I got lambasted. Yeah. People don't realize you're not in D4 anymore, and you also play in the CMAC.
Well, I came back from my visiting with my mother and father and working through this pain, but the only thing that kind of struck to me when I got back into town, we're out at working with the kids out of spring football, and some of the coaches were talking, wow, man, Pagmeter really stirred it up. You see the rank? I didn't see him yet. And he had Madera South number 5 in Division 5, top 5 ranking. And then some other coach said, yeah, somebody got on there and started talking about how that's, I get it, Pags. You're taking care of your boy, Matty J, and selling his program. And I normally don't get too upset. I try to stay as neutral as I can. But the bottom line is, my athletic director, myself, we're not guaranteeing victories against the Division 4 and 5 conference teams. But I defy any team in Division 5, whether you've got them ranked number 1 or the last team ranked on your list. I'll play any of those teams. And that's not being boastful or braggadocious. We play a schedule that's not even remotely close to anyone in Division Four and Division Five. For someone to pop off that our program's only won, you know, one game in 2 years, we won the game that we should have won against the opponents that the teams in Division Five play. So, you know, short of that, I don't listen to a lot of that stuff, but I will tell you, Pagmeter, and to Nick Anderson for that matter, that your rankings are there for a purpose. Of course it's going to stir up controversy, and of course there's always going to be people, as there always is, that agree or disagree. But the bottom line is that's a starting point to get the conversation rolling that we're in football season now. Football is upon us, and it's your job, and you've done a great job at it, of putting down the rankings. Unless there's somebody else that wants to take the time and effort to do what you do on a day-in, day-out basis in the wee hours of the morning and night to do that, then I don't think they have any room to pop off. But the bottom line is we play without question. There's three schools that have got the heaviest ranked schedule in our entire CIF. Number one, the Bullard Knights. Two, the Edison Tigers. And three, the Madera South Stallions. I defy anyone to match up. There are no Division Five teams playing against Division One, Division Two teams on a week-in, week-out basis. So
and that you person play that Sanger popped off on the Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, and Memorial. But if you look at that schedule that Bullard's playing and Edison, that's a pretty daunting task. There are no cupcakes on that schedule. But you look at the typical Division Four, Division Five schedule out there, and there are plenty of quote-unquote cupcakes on the schedule. We don't play any of those kind of games.
Oh, you're right in there. And I go back to what you said, Matt, about Pags and the rankings and sitting down and writing things down and figuring it out. Again, there's been a lot of rocks thrown, or I should say rocks chucked and Band-Aids pulled recently on a lot of those things. And I think you said it perfectly a few minutes ago, and that's maybe, you know, hey, if you didn't have any rankings at all, who would do the rankings? Who would be the ones that are sitting back? And you're not always going to be appreciated because your name's not always going to be on the list. But unless you know more about really what you're talking about, you need to sit back and you need to stay in your lane and just get through the motions. And what Nick's doing, well, and compared to what most people are doing out there, it's pretty obvious, right?
Well, yeah, and the great thing about rankings, whether you like rankings or not, someone's going to be happy and maybe carry themselves with a good chip on their shoulder, and it might carry them through the entire season. Someone's going to be really pissed off that they got ranked lower than they think they should be. And it's going to give them ammunition to go out and play hard. So instead of bashing what anybody says or what they think it's going to be, there has to be a starting point. Now it's everybody's job to go out and prove other people wrong. And that's what I'm. Yeah, that's, man, all I'm saying. If you want to prove anybody wrong, then when I put the phone call out to you, hold on there, Nick. When I put out a call to you, or my athletic director calls for you to try to schedule these games, how about taking the challenge and let's play? You know, don't come off behind the closed. I hate that when you Twitter. That's why I don't do Twitter and all that. You can easily make statements, but no one really knows who is that said that. Why don't you just come out clean and say, hi, I'm Coach Sutton Setz, or I'm this person or this person, and I think that's bull crap. Well, good. Schedule us. Just schedule us. Well, put us on your schedule.
I think, just real quick on the Twitter thing, there's people that have their picture, Matt, profile, yes, picture on their Twitter page, also has their real name on their Twitter page as well. That would mean somebody that actually is going to say, hey, this is the comments I'm making are me. There's plenty of people behind the scenes that you're referring to that I think are more of a what we would call a burner account, which people that come in from all over all these different angles to criticize, but you have no idea who you're talking to, and they have no intention of putting their actual picture or name out
there.
Well,
just to let people know on the rankings, on the divisional rankings, I just wanted to put the teams down in the new divisions, and I just it's all going to change throughout the summer once I learn more about your team. For example, Clovis North and Clovis East are now in Division II football. Paso Robles, as of today, moved to Division II. So we've got, I believe, 11 teams or maybe 10 teams now in Division I. Madera South moved to Division V. I want everyone to know where the new divisions are. That's all. And they'll change. But, boy, people are getting excited in May already. I wanted to get the juices flowing. I guess
well,
I did.
Yeah. Well, you did, and that's good. I will say this, the last bit of any kind of social media, the biggest negative with any social media, and that goes for Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, text messaging, it's kind of removed the onus that you actually have to face your adversary, that you have to get ready for the prom, and you actually have to go and face someone and ask them for the dance. Nowadays, it's just let me text them and see. There's more conversations, not just with relationships, but for some tough decisions that people have to do. And they've taken the easy way out, so they just text or they Twitter. And if there was a big negative to this whole new age that we live in, it's that people just cannot speak face-to-face with people and air their grievances. It's got to be done through the Twitter or the text. And that's obviously something that's always going to get more and more and more prevalent as we get older and older and technology keeps changing. But like I said, and Nick Anderson said it perfectly, there's two types of people, those who say it and put it out, and there's their picture, then there's their real name, and they make their statement. Then there's always going to be those that want to make some, you know, snide little remark about something, but it's some phony picture taken off of Marvel Comics. They've got some tagline name, and you never really find out who the heck's saying that kind of stuff. So that's just the future, and that's just the age we live in. I can accept it. But like I said, my challenge is very clear, like it was in the offseason. Not only do we play against Division I opponents, and we're Division V, we play against Division II, the heavyweights, and the Division III schools we play, every one of them's in a valley or a section championship game, Golden West being one of them. So we play the heavyweights, and one day maybe we'll find out where we really match up. But until that day comes, I'd appreciate if people keep their remarks to themselves for those who think they know, but they really don't know. Thank you very much, Pac Meter.
Maddie's fired up in May already. Well,
fired
Matt,
up.
I'd say the resume, Matt. You know, I see a lot of things, and there's one guy that told me one day. He said, "You know what, Nick?" He goes, "There's a lot of people." Like I said, I love to use that term, chucking rocks and pulling Band-Aids, and I think there's a lot to that. But my opinion, you've got a resume that's pretty good. I'd say your resume is probably. I'd say it's probably better than most, put it that way. And I'm not trying to talk you up at all, Matty, but I know who you are. I know your background. I know what you're trying to do there. But I will tell you this. There's so many people out there that act like marriage counselors that have never been married before.
Oh, that's deep, Nick. That's deep.
And that goes for people that don't have kids. I'm just going to state it real quickly. Don't have kids. Yeah. Don't have kids that are going through the process of whatever it is they're criticizing. To me, they have no business at all. They don't have a word. They don't have a say. Stay in your lane.
Well, you know, hey, thank you for that. Well said. No, but on the other side of that coin, especially to someone like Pagnator and to Nick Anderson, of course, myself, if we want to stay, as Nick would say, vanilla, you know, who's really going to be tuning in and listening? If we want to go out and speak the truth and throw things out there, we got to live by it and we got to throw it out there. But certainly, there's a certain value, I believe, in the theater of the mind. That's radio. In the theater of the mind, there's value to speaking a little bit sometimes out of line, out of order, rather than just being vanilla and quoting scores and telling things like, obviously we all know. Guess what? The Warriors got beat last night. Let's talk about it. Well, we're already all talking about it. You want to get deep? Let's talk about what's right and wrong in the world of our local sports. And I think that's what you and the Pag Meter, and I would like to think myself, that's what we do on a day-in, day-out basis. So I think we are there to make sure that we challenge. When someone says something we don't like, go ahead and challenge it. Just be professional about it. Don't call it like it's some boy doing some other ones. You know, your best buddy, I understand you got to sell his program or help him sell. Man, you know, that's just, we don't go there. We tell it like we think it is, and then we open the argument up to anyone who wants to come in and talk with, as you said, with an education versed in the games that we're all involved in. But don't start popping off if you haven't ridden the horse and you know what it's like. We're in this business to transform young people's lives, transform their lives. And last I checked, it's a new day we live in. They're trying to get competitive equity started, and they're getting that going. And we're not trying to judge our life based on wins and losses only. It's about the kind of effect we can have on young people's lives. That's my whole statement. I didn't mean to go down that deal. But yesterday at spring football, I was obviously a little bit upset that there's clearly a faction that belongs. So having said that, Nick, you need to get on your show or our show on Thursday. You need to get Clovis East Volleyball in. They won a state championship. We need to make sure that we honor Clovis North Track and Field boys and Buchanan girls for their championship of track and field, and make sure that we never want to be considered that we're lopsided in our coverage.
Well, we've been invited to the North and South Bob Green Football All-Star Beautiful. Dinner in a couple weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to, two, 3 weeks, I don't know when it is right now, but I got it written down. We're going to be going up to Merced for the big dinner because that game's going to be something. It's a Central Section versus San Joaquin, Matt. I can't wait. You got a couple Bandera South Stallions playing in it.
Well, there's always a big factor from the north up there in the Merced area. They have a, you know, I'm not going to kid you, they have a decided advantage every year. But hopefully, and Bob Green and the people that put that on are doing a great job, but hopefully some of the South...
Why, how come? Student, why do they have an advantage?
Well, because the South student, the true South student athletes are, when I say South, the kids that play in the south of Merced schools are either wrapping themselves up around the city-county game, some are trying to play both, but most of the South schools aren't represented as well as the schools up north in that north-south game. That's just the way I've noticed over the last probably 8 to 10 years of following it. The north comes in hell-bent for election, and the south kind of just dabbles in a little bit. I was hoping that more of our supreme talented student-athletes from the south area would get involved in that all-star game.
Well, they're definitely going to think about playing both ways more in the north-south game. So we're starting
good.
To
good.
Break ground, Matty J. So we're working on it. All right, Matt, I will see
good.
You tomorrow
excellent.
Night at McKenna's graduation party. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
You bet. See you, Nick and Nick. Great show. See you guys later.
Matty J, buddy. He's fired up today, Nick.
I like it. No, that's, you know, Matt's right. I mean, you think about talk, you know, radio. I mean, you've got to have a little bit of twist to what it is you're trying to get across. And everything has to be done in the right way, but – what Matt brings up and what he's passionate about, you can just hear, you can feel the passion that he's bringing on the comments he's made. But listen, that's not what he's saying isn't untrue. It's right. Everything he said, I couldn't debate any of that if I tried.
I'm trying to do everything in my power to get Madera South and Madera out of the CMAC. It's not right to have Division III, Division V teams playing against Bullard, Edison, Memorial, and Sanger. That's not right. It's not fair to the Bullard Memorial and Edison's of the world as well. They Madera South needs to be in the North Sequoia League, end of story, and play with teams their own size. So let's take a break. Maybe we'll talk a little Fresno State baseball coming up.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's take a break here at Blast and Brew, brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast and Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agri Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon at Blast and Brew, we got the TVs going. We're watching the Orioles beating the Giants 8-6, the two worst teams in baseball. Squaring off, and the Orioles are leading the Giants early still in the fourth inning. It's the Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson, the big cat, right here.
And I would refer to this environment right here as you would say it's packed in here. So let's just go out and say it's jammed up, jelly tight.
It is jelly tight today, and I see a lot of people, they walk by, they look at the beers, and they're trying to figure out which one do I want to try. There's so many. You can really spend 30 minutes
just staring, and there's no line, you know, so it's well put together. There's this big trough all the way across the wall here. We'll call it a trough with a bunch of taps, and got a great screen that gives you the label and tells you exactly what you're looking for. And those of you that are kind of having tough to see things these days, it's pretty right in your face. So Barrel House is here, Sequoia's here. There's all sorts of different, your favorite IPAs and your favorite craft beer and craft food.
I wonder if the manager and the owner here, Matt and Amy, his lovely wife, are they in the back room? It's like the bowling alley. Someone's in the back changing all the kegs and everything. Cause it's got to be a full-time guy.
Somebody back there. Just the amount of consumption we've witnessed here in the last hour and a half has been crazy. And again, to kind of give you another setup on how this thing works is you come in and you just put your credit card in and they give you a card and they put so much on that, or actually you just get the card and you just go up there and when you're done drinking and having food, they run the card, swipe it, and there's a dollar amount and off you go. So it's pretty easy to walk up there and swipe that card. It's kind of almost too easy in some cases, Nick.
It's almost like a beer buffet.
Yeah, right. Smorgasbord.
I always wonder about that kind of job working behind the bowling alley. Is it fun changing pins? Because you're, you know, lane four. Come on, Gary, yeah. Get over there.
I've seen some of those cats back there before. I don't know. They might like that. But what you have here is you've got a lot of people down here. And, again, you've got the farmer's market. The environment on a Friday evening is wonderful. As we get closer to summer right now, it's warmed up a bit in the 80s. So it's a pleasant evening out there. Come in here, have a quick meal with couple of beverages and stroll around out there and take a hard look at that wonderful farmer's market downtown Clovis.
You know what? The family here of Lindsay and Chris with Riley, the Folio family's here, but their friends have got the little guy who's probably not even maybe a year old, got the little helmet on. That's the smartest thing I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Kids fall down all the time. He's got the helmet on. He's ready.
Yep.
You know, that's a future football player.
Well
right
done.
There.
Well done.
Yeah. So Fresno State baseball, they're coming on tonight. We know Paul Leffler and Brian Marsubian will have the call.
I'm fired up. I'm fired up for this game tonight, and it's such a local. If we hadn't had the show today, I would have definitely made that trip up there. From my understanding is that we're going to have a pretty good backing up there. And if they get through tonight, they should be fine going in tomorrow, and there should be plenty of people that have that run. I might even drive up this weekend. Maybe you and I can kind of grab a gear, huh?
Well, Stanford steamrolled Sacramento State,
so
they're going to sit in the driver's seat, and they get to play the winner of Fresno State UC Santa Barbara. Now, my question, you just answered my own question. There should be a lot of Bulldog fans driving UC Santa Barbara. They don't go to Biden Field. We average about 200 fans a game, but they'll go to UC Santa Barbara. So the question for the Big Cat, is it more that they're playing UC Santa Barbara? Do we need to be playing in the Big West? And I would love to see someday Fresno State playing against California teams than the Mountain West. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know you've been an advocate for that for the last couple of years. And, you know, based off of what we've seen and what that they do in the Big West with Thornton and Long Beach State.
Irvine,
UC Santa Barbara,
wow.
Cal Poly. And a lot of those campuses are 3.5-4 hours max from Fresno State. And if you look at the Mountain West teams, and nothing against the Mountain West, my daughter plays in the Mountain West, but being that those teams are so close by, they're having pretty good success, I'd say, out there. So would you be able to get a fan base that would be able to travel? Well, of course, though, they're going to travel to Cal Poly, and Santa Barbara's a nice travel destination as well. But, yeah, I see your point, Nick, and that's I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I could definitely see how that would be a benefit for everyone in terms of going out and watching and competing in that conference.
So we're gonna catch up with Elizabeth Funk soon, the pole vaulter from Clovis West. So I got to talk to her brother, Christian Funk, who plays baseball at Oklahoma State. And I asked him, I go, tell me about the crowds in Oklahoma State. He's like, it's unbelievable. On the worst night, we have 3,500. And we've lately, in the last 15 games, we've been playing in front of 15,000. That is huge. And he goes, I just don't understand why Fresno State, they don't support. We get more people going to UC Santa Barbara. And this is a great Fresno State team. So I'm trying to figure out why aren't we getting people going to the Bulldog games, but they'll go to UC Santa Barbara? Is it because Santa Barbara is like heaven? They want to get out of town maybe? I don't know.
Well, I mean, about heaven, but
it's pretty cool over there.
Yeah, I think if I mentioned I've been to a few Big West, games and watched most recently Cal Poly playing against Pepperdine, which Pepperdine's not in the Big West. Pepperdine's in the WCC, right?
Yep.
I think they play in that baseball as well. I could be mistaken, but it was a non-conference game, so that's what tells me that's the case. But watching the game at Cal Poly, if any of you have been there.
How many people were there?
It was hard for me to say. I was drinking beer and having a hot dog. But that's my point, is that they've got a wonderful thing going on there where you have these Mike Kruko tickets, and I mentioned that as well. So if you have a season ticket, and your season ticket is a Mike Kruko club ticket, you go into the game, you can have all you want beer, and to a point, seventh inning, I think.
So it's a party.
And then free hot dogs, free popcorn, free peanuts, if you pay up for that.
I like that idea.
So Helena is a sponsor for Cal Poly Athletics, as they are at Fresno State. But over there, watching those games, I really enjoyed that, Nick. And a lot of the crowd that was there were participating in that Mike Kruko Club. So a good portion of the stadium was made up of those folks. And, man, they were having a blast. They were having a blast watching the game. It was a great evening. All that stuff put together, it's a wonderful venue.
So Fresno State, what do you think of this idea? Either A, you let everyone in free, and then you charge for hot dogs and Pepsi and all that. Or B, you charge a little more for the ticket, and everything's free if you wanted Pepsi or hot dogs.
Again, I say this. I say, you know, I don't know how much of the corporate sponsorships that are out there that go the tickets, the season tickets that go unused. But it'd be to understand how many companies that have season tickets that just sit in a drawer somewhere, I wonder. But if you ask a kid and a kid's buddy and his buddy and three or four buddies to go to a baseball game, those kids, and that's what I saw at Cal Poly that night. I didn't see a bunch of just couples at the game. I saw dads with three or four of their daughters or three or four of their sons, and they were enjoying the game. And I know that we send customers over there that request tickets, and we give them to them, and they're taking their kids, and they always respond back, hey, it was a great – they might have lost. They didn't care. It was an outing. It was an outing that they wanted to go to. Again, there's so much more to do over there than there is here. Why wouldn't you go? Even the Grizzlies attract a decent crowd. I went to the Grizzlies game when Helena was sponsoring that evening, and I was surprised by the amount of people. I had a great time. It was a wonderful venue that night, and I wonder if Fresno State can do that as well. And I just don't know enough about some of the evenings and things they're trying to showcase certain things. You know, I know Fresno Grizzlies do a great job in having themes. You know, that's all about the theme, right? What's happening tonight? Is it kid night? Like you say, everybody gets in free, but we got five hot dogs per person or per family or whatever's going on. And they might be doing that, but you're going to have to get outside the box in order to attract them, because whatever we're doing right now, it's a limited group that's coming.
Yeah, I had Steve Purse on the other day, the head coach of the Reedley Junior College Tigers baseball team, and he's done one heck of a job. And he said, well, it's pretty simple. When the Fresno Bee died, the marketing of Fresno State died, and everyone stopped going to Fresno State baseball games. Here's another idea, and I know they're right across town. Why aren't we doing a three-game series at Biden Field with Fresno Pacific? Pack it in, because they're losing their money at Fresno State for baseball. There's no doubt about it. Let's get Fresno Pacific. They're Division II now. I think it'd be a great little rivalry. Play at Fresno State. Fresno Pacific will go, and it'll be a packed house.
So you're saying they're not playing right now?
Fresno State doesn't want anything to do with Fresno Pacific.
But they're playing each other in basketball.
They play basketball because the basketball coaches have a relationship, but not baseball. I would love to see that in a three-game series at Biden Field. The place to be packed. They'll get some local people in. Now, the Zone Show and the Rise Show, we promote high school baseball. The championship had almost 4,000 people at James Patrick Stadium when they played with Frontier, because we promote high school sports. High school here is the giant over Fresno State. Sorry to say it, Bulldog fans, but high school dominates. We got to figure out how to get young families. Paul Leffler said it last week when he called in, to get young families involved in baseball and softball sport. We know football, I think they'll be okay. But the other sports, basketball as well. Let's get young families going, because there's no school spirit anymore. Dead. Red Wave is dying. Let's get young families in. Like right here, Chris and Lindsay and Riley need to be at Bulldog games all the time. Right? They're the next generation of Bulldog sports.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd care if you're a Bulldog fan as much as you just want to take your kids to baseball. The old days, right, where you go watch baseball and you try to get that back.
Even football. Are you even basketball?
But how do you do that? And that's the thing we've got to get. And I think we'll try to get some marketing people on at Fresno State and listen to them. And I'm sure they've got a lot of great ideas, because I'll tell you what, things have changed a lot at Fresno State in the last 12 months or so, 24. So I'm optimistic that things are going well there. They've got to be talking behind the scenes, and I'm sure they've got a lot going on. I'd just love to learn about it. I think we need to have somebody on. They can help us understand that a little bit better.
Well, if I'm the AD, the first thing I'm doing, I'm figuring out how to get baseball, softball into the Big West. I want to get California teams in here. Coming up in a little while, Paul Leffler and Brian Marsubian will have the call, Fresno State against UC Santa Barbara. Nick, great job today. I want to thank Dante Chazare, and, of course, Eric Akeeshan and Bob Green for coming in. Blast and Brew, what a great host for us.
Oh, this is a wonderful venue. I look forward to next week over at 10 Tavern?
We're at 10 Tavern. I can't wait. The rigatoni. Thanks, Joe Joe.
Of course, you want rigatoni. Meatballs or sausage on the rigatoni?
Whatever I want.
You got it.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Dawgs. Knock off UC Santa Barbara tonight. Be a big one. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
And as Matt says, get in the game.